Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Down the left field line, and that's a fair ball. Panic scores. Hundley's going to be held up. Hernandez comes through with a double, and the Giants take the lead. And that was a loud double.
Juan Marichal and the Giants take down the Dodgers last night in L.A., 11 innings, 4-1. Oh, wait, hearing in my earpiece it wasn't Marichal. That was Samardzija?
Couldn't have been. Had to be Juan.
Jeff Samardzija, 8 strong, 3 hits, no runs. That's right. That one run that scored, unearned. 11 strikeouts and no walks. Dibs. That's pretty much the top of the mountain for Samardzija, is it not? Or can I float the idea that maybe he's figured something out and moving forward, he's going to turn into the guy that they paid $80 million to?
That's the correct part. You know, it's a beautiful day, Joe. You're on the eve of heading off on a nice little trip. So why not look at the glass as half full? Back-to-back good outings. One good outing, one amazing outing. Even though he's still stuck on 0 wins, I think he's found it. I got to tell you, it's looking like a bargain, that contract now.
That sucks. Wow. That performance last night doesn't even get you a win. But that's exactly why wins and losses mean so little when it comes to pitching. That's why you can't make the argument during MVP races and Cy Young races. Well, player A has 20 wins, player B has 16. It doesn't matter. Games like this last night, it's as good as it gets. There are dudes last night who got wins giving up 4 runs. That's the whole point that we're getting at here, but we digest. That's right, digest for the moment. The stat I said would make you throw up. You ready for it?
I'm ready.
Are you truly ready? Because I don't think you want to throw up all over that nice picture.
You ready?
Sure.
The Giants this season, at the moment, have a minus 37 run differential. That means through all their games, they've been outscored by 37 runs. This is a very important stat because it helps predict future success. Minus 37 is tied for worst in Major League Baseball with who?
Don't say it.
Oh, I'm going to say it.
Don't say it.
The Oakland Athletics. Can you believe it? Minus 37, the two worst run differentials in all of baseball reside right here in Oakland and in San Francisco. Do you think anyone actually puked as they're driving around this morning? 95795, why don't you clean yourself up?
That's a tough one.
Good
and
God.
Of all the metrics and the old school metrics, batting average, RBIs, ERA, ratio, etc., all the new numbers, really when you want to look at how good a team is and what their trend is likely to be, run differential is a great way to look at it. And minus 37, that's painful.
Woo! But, Dibs, the one thing you said coming into the week against the Dodgers was, hey, let's stop talking about turning it around as it pertains to the Giants. Let's stop talking about this and that. Let's just focus on winning a series. Singular. Let's win one series. Because coming into this, the Giants had only won one series all season long. That was against Arizona on April 10th, 11th, and 12th. They took 2 of 3 from the Diamondbacks. They won the series against the Dodgers. With odds stacked against them, and I'm talking mightily stacked against them, they won the series.
And they beat Clayton Kershaw in the process. You beat Kershaw, and you find a way to get 2 of 3, and now you can move forward and look at the next series and maybe get 2 out of 3 against Cincinnati when you move out and you play the next set of games and you don't worry about 500. And you know now you got your ace on the hill today, Matt Cain.
Tomorrow, day off today.
My bad, Joe.
That's all right.
Matty Cain going to get the ball even though you don't have Bumgarner. Team playing well. And the thing that I liked about last night.
I missed the joke on the ace. Sorry. I was too busy with the. Damn.
No, I blew the line.
No, it was good.
I blew the line on the
ace. Cain's been on fire. You're absolutely. That was. He's been ace.
Cain is able.
And Cain, wow. He might be the ace right now.
Don't give me credit for that. Everybody says that.
He's
going into the season, it's will Cain be able?
But Dibs, you said Cain, your ace going. But then don't look now. But Sunday, the Black Knight. Johnny Cueto going home, and he takes the mound.
Wouldn't he be Saturday?
No.
Oh, block.
Yeah.
Sorry. So
I already got this.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to win you money. So I think Sunday's
yeah.
the big... Didn't I win you a dollar or two?
No, I'm just blown away because you did this the other day, too. You know the pitching matchups like 5 days in advance now, and I'm trying to figure out, is that like your thing? Are you going to be the local guy that knows the pitching matchups 5 days in advance?
Baseball hasn't been my strong suit. And I, you know, it's
you didn't play baseball, Coach.
Right. So I'm trying to, you know, increase my baseball knowledge and learn about the cycle and all those different things and first, second, third. And I'm putting it together, you know?
The crowd loves it.
Yeah, so.
It's good effort.
It is. And I know that you have a nice amount of money out there on Cueto's number, 13, I think, is your number.
13 and a half.
See,
we need 14 wins.
I'm with you. That's all.
He's not against you. He's with you.
Thank you.
Doesn't feel that way.
If I see 109.
I don't trust any of this.
I'm your brother to the end. If 109 brothers jump on you, I'm going to make it 110. At least I'm going to be there to the end.
That's classic material. Joe, last night the Giants showed.
Don't you dare take it back to baseball. Don't you dare try to get this back in the content.
Joe, you know.
It's a little bit long past that.
That at bat in the 10th, I want to take you through it pitch by painful pitch.
Samardzija warmed up, and it really looked nice last night. Steven Okert, though. How about the youngster coming out of the bullpen? Two efforts where he went 1 2/3 against the Dodgers in the Kershaw game and then again last night, holding it down for a bullpen that much maligned, even though Melanson gets the save last night. Nice to see a guy like that who's had some up and downs come out and have a big series against L.A.
Yeah, and the Giants were able to find runs in extra innings. You know, the offensive eruption, so to speak, the volcano of offense didn't come until the 11th inning, but they got it done with three in the 11th. And how about Okert, Lowe? As the guy who gets his first win in the major leagues, he gets the beer shower in the locker room. It's one of the great rites of passages. Do they have that in football where you score your first touchdown and they do something for you like that?
You got to love it. A guy comes up, gets his first win. Yeah, usually it's more of a game ball. Or, you know, guys, just they give you the high five. You know, you're going through it, give you the high five. And what I used to do, especially if it's a young quarterback or a young running back, he scores his first touchdown. You know, Lowe Neal's a veteran guy. And you're like, I'm awesome. That's awesome, bro. And so they go to give you high five, and they put their hand up. You put your hand up, rather. And as they go to do it, you gut shot them. Bam! Like, I gut shot him.
You know what was the best part about all that? And Dibs, only you and I got to enjoy this. When he throws the high five up in the air, there's that crooked finger. Just bent the wrong direction. I'm just staring at that thing. Ugh. Yeah,
Which bad. Would you rather it's have, bad. The beer shower or the high-low from a guy like Lowe Neal?
The high-low from Lowe Neal is going to double you over.
Right.
It's going to It's not going to be a little gut shot because he doesn't know his own strength. A guy like him, a love tap will put you down for a few hours.
Right.
It could break you, Dibs.
And all the guys just laugh. You love it. He thinks he's getting the high five.
Yeah.
Boom. He's looking at it and everyone's laughing at him.
You're so wrong,
it
dude.
It was.
Albert, so Santa wrong. Cruz, he wants to weigh in on the LeBron situation. You two went off on each other during the break, and that's why we're going to end up bringing this back. Albert, thanks for calling the program. Go ahead.
Hey, love the show, guys. Lowe, Libor in the house.
What it do, baby boy?
There's more than one person from Libor?
Tell them how we do it in L-Town, baby boy.
Yeah, okay. Let's get the record straight. LeBron will never be considered the greatest, Joe. You're wrong. Want to know why?
Because not
Michael
really.
Ice in his veins. All right, Michael, 6-0 in championships, and it can be argued if he didn't take that time off from baseball, could have easily made it 8-0. LeBron takes time off. Michael played every game. And Michael played during the time when you had the Bad Boys, the Lakers, the Celtics, when everybody was heavy hitters in the league, not where they're pity padding right now. And as far as you know what, Montana's still the best. 4-0 in Super Bowl. There you go. I'm out.
All right. Fair points and a smart phone call. We appreciate it, and we like having fun back and forth. Don't ever take it personally. Thank you, Albert, for calling the program. Limor, you don't have better cell service down there. You hear that?
His phone was fine, Joe.
Might as well have been Bangladesh.
This is not fresh.
All right.
Now back to Joe, Lowe, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Great to have you in for what could be the best segment of the day. Very rarely do we come out this hot, but this is going to be a hot take segment. Lowe and Dibs have been going at each other behind the scenes in each of the last two breaks. We're also going to turn it over to you. It's the LeBron conversation. I'm going to set that up for you in just a moment. But for now, great to have you in on this Thursday. 888-957-9570 is the number. But first, it's the Live Nation Summer Concert Kickoff on 95.7 The Game. You can get $20 tickets to over 30 Bay Area shows now through May 9th. At livenation.com/20ticket. We'll be giving away tickets to Straight No Chaser. That's in the 7 hour. The Deftones with Rise Against in the 8 hour. And I love the 90s with TLC, Montel Jordan, Rob Bass, and more in the 9 hour.
This is how we do it.
That would be the same Montel Jordan.
That was really good.
Did he sing anything else? Or was that the only one?
That was his only hit, really.
Okay. But it was top 10 for quite a while, if I remember, on MTV.
He had one other massive hit that's escaping me right now.
Then that was his
only massive hit, really?
Massive.
So massive, you forgot.
It's like saying Robin Thicke had a second hit. Look, there's Blur Lines, and then there's pretty much everything else.
Just rescue me on the text line, please.
That's what you get.
All right, here's where we're at. Here's where we're at. The LeBron James conversation from this morning. Whether you like him or not, and I'm guessing most of you probably don't love him, and that's okay, naturally, he is one of the all-time greats. He just passed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar last night for second all-time points in the postseason. He's 210 points away from passing Jordan for first in postseason scoring, and that's going to happen this year, barring an injury. There are more and more articles, sources of information coming out highlighting the fact that LBJ is passing Jordan in category after category after category, leading to the discussion of whether or not he's a better player. I think most of us at this point feel you probably wouldn't rank him above Jordan on the Rushmore, Dibs, at this point, but he's still got at least 3 good years left. And what I brought up was, as he tears apart the NBA this season, you're not going to be able to convince him next year and the year after to play more regular season games. I think we might be reaching a point where LeBron says, I might play about 45, 50 regular season games. You can't stop me because I'm marketable and you need me. I know my team can get into the playoffs. Then I'll flip the switch like I did last year and we'll go ahead and we'll go on our run. He needs the Warriors. The Warriors need him. That's another discussion that we'll get to in a few moments. But for now, LeBron and his greatness, where does he rank? Can he pass Jordan in your eyes at any point? Eric, Sacramento, thank you for calling the program. How worried should the Warriors be about what LBJ's doing right now?
I think it's good. Good for LeBron James that the Warriors are this good. And it's also good for the Warriors because imagine going down as the Warriors to beat the greatest player ever would be great. And the way they could do that is for Draymond to be aggressive. And what I would love to see is for him to stick his tongue out like he does, like he did to Blake Griffin. That's my take.
Appreciate the phone call. David, Oakland, thank you for calling the show. Jordan versus LBJ, how do you weigh in?
What's up, boys? Here, first off, the real contest is not between Michael Jordan and LeBron James. It's between my boy, Andres Biedrins, Warriors great, who was not even honored at the We Believe ceremony. Hot take, Biedrins takes it.
Thank you. Thank you for the hot take. The Biedrins resets.
We don't get nearly enough Frank calls on this program.
Zarko Chabarkaba was there, though, which you got to represent Zarko in that same We Believe run as well.
If LeBron wanted to take 30, 35 games off, Lowe feels that he'd be able to get away with it, that the guys in the locker room wouldn't get upset because LeBron's getting them paid, LeBron's getting them rings. You disagree. I would like to reignite the fight you two almost had, just for my own personal benefit.
Well, the idea of LeBron playing, let's say, 41 games, he's just going to play half the schedule, would be something that would drive a wedge in the locker room, in my opinion, among the veteran players, those with gravitas, players such as Kyrie Irving, a guy who's a superstar. He's not on the same level as LeBron James, but he's in the top 12 or 15 in the league, and you're going to expect him to go out there and play 82 games and hold it down while LBJ gets his rest? I don't believe that he would sit back and just say, oh yeah, I'm getting paid, I understand this, this is what's good for the team. It would drive a wedge in the locker room, they would resent LeBron James for it, and the whole thing would fall apart accordingly.
Bro, would you have a problem with that?
Wrong, as Donald Trump would say, wrong, Dibs, you're wrong. Absolutely.
Wrong.
Thank you. I was waiting for that drop. No, you wouldn't, Joe. And here's why I think this is the part that Dibley's missing. And bless his heart. He's a great guy, and I understand he...
Wrong.
he's not a great guy.
I just think that you look at guys like Tim Duncan. And if Timmy took off 20 games in his latter part of his career, there's no guys in that locker room would get upset. Because they know what Timmy represented, and they knew who Timmy Duncan was. And the head coach is going to his job is to convey that message because you can ride him, you can get on him, and Timmy still will respond. LeBron's getting ready to turn, 33, and all the different, he's getting older. And so I don't think that it would drive a wedge. Now, It would drive a wedge if he said, I'm taking these games off and I'm going on vacation. I'm not going to be around the guys. But if he's still there at practice, if he's still there getting ice and getting in the meetings and still a part of the thing and still traveling and being involved in the team's day to day, Joe, these guys wouldn't, because the end of the day, you play these games to get to where? To where we're at now. This is the money-making time. So when you're talking about would he and can he do that in the league and players wouldn't necessarily get upset with him, I don't think that. Now, if he was 28, 29 years old and a young player and was doing that, absolutely would drive a wedge between him and those guys in that locker room. They'd be like, what the hell?
So if he's banana boating in January down in the Caribbean having a ball and these pictures are surfacing online while Kyrie and company are sweating it out versus Memphis on a Tuesday night.
They're pissed.
You think that could cause an issue?
Absolutely.
Why? It's LBJ. He's getting them paid.
No question. And that's where Dibs, you're right at. If he's doing that, Joe, they would hate. They would be like, dude, really? He's going to put up pictures and he's out having a good time while these guys are out working? No. Now, if he's there in the facilities, working out, doing the things, but just saving his energy to get you to playoffs and only play 40, 50 games during the year, I don't think the guys would have that big of an issue with
it. Will it drive a wedge?
I'm not wrong.
If I send you two a picture of me on the dice table tomorrow at 8:30 a.m., double fist and mimosas.
No, you've earned it. You've earned your time off. And you know what?
That's not a banana boat situation.
Hasn't LeBron earned his time off?
First of all, step off so I can retort. Please allow me to retort, as Samuel Jackson once said in Pulp Fiction.
Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Lova.
Thank you. My name is Lova.
Hey, don't you go stealing what I did yesterday for that Mattress Firm. That's what you're doing. Misappropriation of my material. Don't spoil the surprise for everyone.
You caught me.
Are you two done?
Yeah, for the moment.
Are you two finished?
Go ahead. You deserve
a day off. You're playing more than half the game. So go ahead and have a nice time in Vegas. Tim Duncan never had.
WP.
Turn the mic on if you're going to take a shot, you amateur. Tim Duncan never once played 41 games in a season. And when Tim Duncan was getting his rest, he was a 39-year-old role player. You're not talking about the greatest player on the planet. And it doesn't matter if LeBron's in the facility or if he's working out or if he's apologizing to his family for his pursuit of excellence.
Greatness.
If he is jaking it and not playing a full schedule, and other guys are, there's going to be resentment.
How do you know that?
Because I've been on teams. I've coached teams. And when you give individuals special treatment,
it's not special treatment.
People resent that. That is special treatment. If you say, LeBron, how many games do you want to play this year? Well, you know, Tyron, I only want to play 41. Sure, LeBron, we'll hold it down for you. Everyone else, LeBron's playing 41. You guys are going to have to pick up the slack. Let's run some gassers.
I don't think you do gassers with them, coach. I wasn't saying, Dibs, that they got to go and run gassers. I'm saying if the end result is a championship, and if you know that the Dubs are over here and they're younger and they're a more finesse team and they got all the weapons, and if you know you have to compete, wouldn't you save the king? When you play chess, the best thing you do is you save the king. Once you get the king, the game's over. It ain't about the. You know what I'm saying? The king. At the end of the game.
Yes, but is the king on the board?
The king
is the king on the board.
Yes, he's on the board.
That's a pretty strong point right there. Not to jump in his defense, but
mine was good. Mine was.
I thought you both had great analogies.
It was great.
Some of the best radio you two have ever done. I really don't like it that it's happening this early, because now I feel as if things could unravel very quickly on us here.
It's over. I'm done. It's one thing if they want to, you know, rest the king and have him play 75, 76, 70. That's fine. 77 games, the occasional rest. But to take half a season off, that would develop unbelievable resentment in that locker room. I firmly believe.
Let me ask you a question. Great points. Do we overrate Michael Jordan? Think about it before you go nuts. Because if we went back 20 years and we were talking about Jordan's greatness, wouldn't we be cutting him down for someone from the era before him? That's what we tend to do. We take the guy from the current era and we say he doesn't stack up with the guy from the previous era because of A, B, and C. That's what we're doing with LeBron right now.
We compared him to Dr. J. We compared Michael to those guys in Magic and we did.
I don't necessarily remember that. I was 15, 16,
True.
So I can't really speak to it. The point I'm kind of getting at is, as we move away from a guy's career, like Jordan, the mythology of him grows. The dunks seemed from further back of the free throw line. The tongue hung out longer. The flu games were more plentiful. You know what I'm saying? Everything about Jordan now is blown up to such mythology that it's almost as if we've created an individual who can't be touched, like we did with Montana. Then Brady came along and won 5 rings. If LeBron gets to the 6 rings, I still don't see people siding with him. Most people, anyway. I don't even think you'd have a 50-50 split. People would continue to ride with MJ, but why? What do we? I'm not saying it's true. I'm just asking, have we blown up Jordan to the point where no one can ever reach that level? Because I think the branding, the shoes, Nike, everything that came along, the TV deals back then, he was the perfect guy at the perfect time. And I think maybe it's possible that we remember him a bit more fondly than for what he actually did produce.
It was so many great guys there. You had Isaiah, the Magic, the Berg, all these guys when Michael hit the scene. They were in their twilight of their career. And when he came onto the scene, he did things that we haven't seen done. And I don't know if they're – I don't think we're putting this guy on Dibs Mount Rushmore without merit. I think when you watch Michael and watch the way he did hang his tongue and they said, oh, it's a different era, how much physical the game was. They used to beat Michael up. Michael said, hell, he said Detroit beat him up so bad he started the weight program. Remember, he started lifting weights because they were pounding him.
Yeah.
And he would. And it's still – you go look at where he took off at the Dorner, at the free throw line – he's still doing what guys are doing now, even though he was in a different era. So when people say, oh, well, it's tougher now and these athletes are bigger. Man, you put Michael right now, if he was in his era now, Michael would still dominate. He was taking off. The free throw line hasn't changed. The dude was still flying, and his tongue was a little longer than every American. I mean, the guy had a tongue like a lizard. And hell, when he took off flying, people just like, look at him flying, look at him soar. Hell, they made shoes after the boy. The man was bad.
And that's the point. That's the point. The Jordan brand. I mean, you have all the best guys now under the Jordan brand. We all know him from his shoes, from the movies. It feels as if the player has grown into something so much bigger that can never be touched. Have we reached a point where no one would ever be able to touch Jordan for the greatest ever? Because I'm sure if sports radio, the internet, and everything else existed as it does now in the 90s, you'd have people cutting Jordan down to say he's not as good as Magic or as Russell or as good as Kareem or Wilt or just somebody. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Every era has that. The current guy never gets the love that the guy from the past got.
And it's the nature of us as people. You want to mythologize the past and the things that you grew up with as being the best. You look at the music now, the rap music. Oh, it's not as good as the rap music when I was a kid. The teams aren't as good. The players aren't as good. The air quality's not as good. Nothing is as good as when you were a kid or back in your day, and that's how all of us act as general people.
This conversation is cruising. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to bounce for a minute. The phone lines are juiced. We're going to visit with Susan Slusser when we come back in a minute. We're going to knock through some baseball, and then we're going back to this conversation and taking all your calls. Jordan versus LeBron. Do we put Jordan on a higher pedestal than possibly we would have back in the day? Joe Lowe and Dibs in a minute, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Joe, Lowe, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Happy anniversary to my wife. First date 4 years ago today, Dibs. Aww. Can you believe it?
Congratulations.
In traditional Vegas style, it was at 1 a.m. at the Sportsbook Bar at the Red Rock Casino. 1 a.m. was our first date. That, so technically, it was May 5th, I guess. Huh. All this time, I've been living a lie.
So it's not May the 4th. It's actually May the 5th for you guys.
The date was made on May the 4th, right before I covered the Floyd Mayweather-Robert Guerrero fight. And then the fight ended, and I made my way back up to Summerlin, where we both lived only like a mile from each other. We met at the Red Rock for drinks. That was the first date.
I love the Red Rock.
Oh, yeah.
That's my spot, Coach.
It's a great spot.
You guys should celebrate Cinco de Mayo, then.
I'm going to celebrate by leaving her and the kid home. I'm leaving for Vegas today, 1:30, bachelor party. Your boy's going to be all over the Aria this weekend. Happy anniversary to me.
It's not really an anniversary. It's a first date-iversary.
Yeah, correct.
When you get married, and I've had other friends who, oh, this is the first, you know, the day we met 23 years ago. It's like, dude, you're married. You don't have to celebrate these cockamamie first kiss-iversary, I got to second base-iversary. No, celebrate the anniversary. And let the rest of it wash away.
See, I got to be honest. I think the first date anniversary is bigger than the wedding anniversary. It's longer. It's the first time you went out. Like, I get your point, and a lot of people move in that direction. I think it's important. I think this is more important than the wedding anniversary. That's in, like, 3 weeks. That's number one. It's like, oh, what is it, paper? What does that mean, cash?
You got married 3 weeks after your first date? Man, Coach, you move fast. You talk fast. You think fast.
Yeah, she's pregnant too. So your boy was just really knocking everything out of the park there. That's how I do things. I got no time to screw around.
Your boy getting it done.
Yeah. All right. D-Train, Dontrell Willis, speaking of getting it done. He's coming up in just a moment. But for right now, Dibs with your update.
And it's a big night for Golden State Warrior fans as they get Game 2 going against Utah tonight at Oracle Arena. Steph Curry sat out practice. He said he's, quote, definitely good to go despite tweaking his ankle in Game 1. Steve Kerr likely won't be on the sideline. He's still suffering those headache and back issues after his multiple back surgeries. Bob Myers on the Afternoon Delight yesterday talked about why they hired Mike Brown as an insurance policy.
I think the truth is, yeah, it was a little bit unspoken because it's a hard thing to bring up for Steve and for me. You know, we may have brought it up once or twice, but to be frank, we wanted to get the best guy.
And they have a good assistant coach indeed. Our coverage starts at 6 tonight. Warriors warm-up gets it all rolling right here on 95.7 The Game. Story number 2, Giants back in the win column. They win the series against the Dodgers with a 4-1 victory in 11 innings. Jeff Samardzija, spectacular. 8 innings, he allowed 3 hits, no earned runs. Brandon Belt and Gorkys Hernandez each drove in a run in the 11th. Giants off today. Story number 3, rough outing for Kendall Graveman. The A's lose in Minnesota. He gave up 6 runs, didn't make it out of the 4th inning. Kenny Vargas drove in 5 for Minnesota. The A's are trying to avoid dropping a 5th straight and also avoiding a 4-game sweep. They got morning baseball today, Jarrell Cotton against Kyle Gibson. The dugout show comes up in just about an hour, 9:15. Your first pitch, 10:10 here on 95.7 The Game. The update brought to you by Covered California. Experience a life change in the last 60 days. If so, you may qualify for health coverage through Covered California. Visit coveredca.com. I'm Dan Dibley on your home of the Warriors. Our coverage begins at 6 tonight right here on 95.7 The Game.
Dibs, you're a pro's pro. You know how I know that?
What the hell was going on?
Because while you were doing that, there was nothing but shenanigans taking place in here.
Boy, Steve,
you
cake.
Are not a pro's pro.
What happened?
Neither am I. Let's be honest. That's not. Come on. That's not. That's no way to conduct yourself during an update.
It was so Steve, old boy. Old boy got a little cake.
You can't be.
He's cake.
You can't be coming in here disrupting everything while Dibs is trying to get that update done. It's a freaking fullback in a china shop. You know what I
yeah,
mean?
Yeah, it is.
Joe's
yeah,
over here looking like, what the hell's going
yeah,
on?
Yeah, it's like you look at him and I give him this look like, you're the problem. And he goes, no, I'm not the problem. He starts pointing at everyone else.
No, Steven.
No, let me stop everything. You are the problem.
Look at him back there smiling.
He's just trying to work. He's just trying to work.
I'd like to recognize the late Keith Goldstein, my teacher at Cal State Northridge, for teaching me just to soldier through in the heat of all kinds of that's going on. So rest in peace, Keith. You're a great teacher.
Dontrell Willis won a World Series, and hopefully he can bring this program back to the tracks it so desperately needs to get on. D-Train with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Dontrell, how you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing? How you guys doing, fellas?
We're doing real good. I got a couple off-the-wall questions for you before we get into baseball.
Oh, boy.
Come on, Train.
Is it okay to celebrate the first date if you're married? Today's my 4-year on the first date, but the wedding anniversary is still a few weeks away. I find it to be an important date. Dibley does not. Where does the D-Train weigh in?
I'm in the middle. First of all, congratulations. That's a beautiful thing. And
I'm celebrating by going to Vegas for a bachelor party.
You got to celebrate those, too. So that's what I'm kind of in the middle of both of those. You got to celebrate all the good times and enjoy all the good moments. But it's a blessing to have someone that you're in love with and enjoy and don't want to put rat poison in their food right now. So I'm very, very happy for you and celebrate it and enjoy it. Mazel.
Thank you. I tricked her, and legally she has nowhere to go. So
That's the key.
Question number 2, why do you think LeBron James is so disliked for a guy who's done a lot for the community, had a lot of on-court success, and never really gets embroiled in any scandals or drama or arrests? I mean, ultimately, that's the type of guy you'd want on your team. We're not trying to troll Warrior fans. It's just a curious situation where so many people hate on LeBron James.
Because he's perfect. I don't want to meet him. No, I take that back. I've gotten a chance to meet him, and I told him I'm a Warriors fan. He started dying laughing, and it's just because he's a great guy. And we, this in society, just love to hate to Tim Tebow type guys. Like, and again, that's another guy, you know, where you can't figure out why everybody kind of, there's like a gang of people that don't like him for whatever reason, and he's the nicest and the most sincere guy that you could meet. So again, LeBron James is successful, he's wealthy, he makes more money than anybody can dream of on just his shoe deal alone, let alone his basketball checks, and he's a champion, and he's continuing to break records every time it seems like he gets on the court nowadays, and it's this greatness in our presence. So, you know, just as much people love him, there's going to be a rise of people that don't like him.
Without a doubt, Dontrell, a lot of people in the Bay Area rooting against him, certainly.
I know I am.
Yeah, count me on that on that team as well. Dontrell Willis, the Pride Alameda, joining us on 95.7 The Game. Giants get a series win in L.A. It seems like a small thing, but is that the kind of shot of momentum that a struggling club needs just to win a series before heading out on the road again?
No, that's huge, especially in their clubhouse, being able to go in the rival's house and be able to play good baseball. And sometimes you need that type of serious to bring the best out of you. Posey's definitely starting to settle in. You're starting to see him come up with some big knocks. And everybody around him collectively is swinging the bat a little bit better, giving better at bats, you know, and making it tougher. They battled Clayton Kershaw, which I was very impressed in a couple days ago. And for them to come away with a late inning win last night was fun. It was good to see Samardzija, even though he didn't get the win, but it was encouraging just to see his stuff, his command. And that's the shark that you're going to need, especially in the middle of that rotation. So, you know, all these guys, the majority of the veterans in this locker room are proven, and it's a long season. But this is the type of series which is key when they're able to play well and come out with some victories on the road. It's huge for a locker room morale.
You know, what has been the biggest surprise in Kane's reemerging? You see the way this guy's playing. CRA's down. The guy's playing pretty well. What has been the biggest thing you've seen in his game that's have his play so elevated?
You know what? He's a bulldog. You don't see much as far as the difference in stuff. Maybe his velocity's down. But he's just being able to play well under the radar. And again, you know, it's almost like you're pitching with the house's money. It's like whatever Kane can give us, you know, kind of in spring training, was like, if he gives us 5 innings and keeps the game close, that's great. But he's taking it above and beyond. And, I mean, he's got a 1 ERA in the last 4 starts. So it's almost like he's the front line Kane. So it's nice to see that energy. You need that type of play with any type of team, somebody that comes out of nowhere and is just the veteran. And I tell you what, if he continues to stay down in the zone, and I mentioned this on the show a couple weeks ago, he's definitely, especially on at home, it's hard to hit that ball out of the ballpark, and always his problem was the long ball. So he's able to keep guys in the yard. He's able to go deep in ball games. He doesn't mess around. He's aggressive, and it's playing out.
World Series champ, 2-time All-Star, MLB analyst for Fox Sports, Dontrell Willis with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. What do you make of this brawl, this three-day brawl in Baltimore or Boston between the O's and the Red Sox? Did this get to a point where it's gone too far? Let's start with just last night, because I want to peel this back with you quite a bit. Okay. Last night, did this go too far?
It was too far. It was too far. You're having conference calls, you know, with Joe Torre. They got both GMs, both managers. I mean, I'll tell you what, I've never heard of this in baseball. And again, it all started from the slide and Farrell just misreading it. You know, Machado went in. It was bang, bang. You know, he didn't want to jam his leg. I don't think it was intentional right when I saw it. And Pedroia felt like it wasn't intentional. And when you address something like that, you address something either that day or the next day. That's it. And it's over with. And now, I mean, you got peanuts flying on the field. You got people calling people N-word. It's just a total mess. It's sad because these are two teams that are going to be there in the end. And already in the first series, it's already kind of diminished and took away from the baseball because it's two great teams that we're definitely one of these teams we're going to see in the postseason. So it's sad.
Dontrell, you obviously played a long time in the big leagues, and you heard, I'm sure, a wide variety of things around Major League Baseball. What do you think the sport can do to clean up or prevent these incidents from happening where fans are hurling insults like the N-word to Adam Jones and other African-American players?
Ejection and never allowed to come back to the ballpark again, because I've gone through that in the minor leagues all the way up into the big leagues. I've had something like that similar happen to me in Boston, Philadelphia, Atlanta, even Wrigley, which is, you know, one of the most friendly confines in all of baseball. And it's sad because you don't want that energy in the stands. You don't want that energy on the field. And you definitely don't want to degrade somebody, especially for this beautiful game that's for all of us to enjoy. And if it wasn't for, you know, not only the whites or the minorities, this game wouldn't be what it is today as far as the athleticism and seeing the stars that you see. So everybody should enjoy that. And there's no room for that in the game of sports. In the game of sports, and especially in baseball.
Dontrell Willis, tremendous insight with Joe Lowndes on 95.7 The Game. You said you heard at Boston, Philly, even at Wrigley. Is Boston as bad as some are making it out to be? CC Sabathia.
Oh, it's pretty bad.
Really?
It's pretty bad. You got to understand, I'm from Alameda, California. I'm from the Bay Area, and I told somebody this yesterday, I didn't experience racism until I got into pro ball. You know, so, you know, I never experienced that going anywhere in the Bay Area until I signed and I started traveling to some of these cities in the Southern League, some of these cities in Northern, and, you know, with a kid that kicks his leg up and wears his hat to the side, I'm an easy target for that type of stuff. So, you know, but again, it made me tougher. It made me stronger. You know, I didn't like it. And to be honest with you, every time I've been around something like that and something's happened to me, it's actually the white players and the white teammates that I've had that have jumped to my defense the quickest to say, hey, that's not okay. And that's the beauty about this, you know, sports being able to accept somebody even though they don't come from the same background as you, knowing that they have your back and you love them the same way they love you, and they're going to run through a wall for you. So, and that's the beauty of team sports. So, again, there's a lot of times that's happened to me. It's made me tougher. It's made me want to play better for my race and for my culture. But I also just wanted to go out there and just be a baseball player and not be judged just because of my color, my skin.
Couldn't agree with you more. When I think about it, it's just disheartening to me. You know, I had been blessed to play 16 years in NFL, and mine to me
got some
is
dirt under his cleats, though. You got some dirt under your cleats,
man. I'm telling you, mine is the why factor for you is because I've been in locker rooms, and of course, you know, they say in the NFL and other sports, it's almost 50-50.
Right.
But when you think about one of the first games that people were able to play, the crossover was in baseball. Blacks, right. And I know they had the Negro League, which was a huge league, and all the records that are still over there. But when you think about basketball and football, where it's so much more prevalent, you don't see it as much. Why is baseball still one of the last sports? Is it a different – my question to you, is it a different fan base than you have for football and basketball and other sports than baseball?
I think it's a combination of a different fan base. And honestly, this is the decline of African-American players, you know, playing the sport. And you look at these rosters and, you know, you look at somewhere like LSU baseball, where they might only have two African-Americans on a 35-man roster, and you see it visually, and then all of a sudden you look at their football team, and their whole defense is black. You know, so it's a lot of things tying into that. And, you know, talking to Adam Jones, who's one of my best friends, we talk every single day, you know, we're on a mass text with B.J. Upton, you know, Edwin Jackson, Justin Upton, we're all on the same mass text.
Whoa. How do I get on that? I won't say anything. I just want to chill. Damn.
College boy. College boy.
Get out of here, Lo.
No, but it's the friendship. It has nothing to do with baseball. And the sad thing about that was right after that game, Adam came on the mass text and discussed what happened. And the culture with us was, what's new? Because we've all been through it. Adam was just the first one to kind of go in the forefront and speak out about it. You know, he's the kind of guy that sticks to his guns. He's an honest guy, and that's why I appreciate and love him. But, you know, we have to get away from that. We have to, you know, continue to shine light and speak about that. And I commend Boston. I commend their organization from getting in front of that and addressing that. But, again, man, is this, you know, us as people, we have to appreciate each other more. And that's one thing I love being from the Bay Area. You can't put no pizza in front of me. You can't put no lumpia in front of me. You can't put no tacos in front of me. Because I've been able to be around, you know, different cultures and learn and appreciate them for the goodness that they bring and not see negative contact in their skin color. So I thank the Lord that I'm definitely from the Bay for that reason.
World Series champ, two-time All-Star, MLB analyst for Fox Sports, and one hell of an interview. Dontrell Willis with Joe Lowndes on 95.7 The Game. D-Train, thank you. That
no
was
problem.
Outstanding, man. Have a great week. We'll catch
you
up
too.
With you soon.
Thanks, fellas.
Damn.
Love the train.
Like, where do you even begin with that interview? First of all, yeah, he's made out for this. Radio, TV, whatever he's going to be doing, he's got big career. And that's great to see someone from the area. That's just number one right off the top. Number two, I don't know where to go next. That was as candid as it comes. Coming from here, Dibs, you could probably speak to this a little bit. Not dealing with racism at all from the East Bay, and then suddenly you're playing in the South, sideways hat, like he says, kicks the leg up, getting introduced to it. Did you go through something like that at all, Lo? Because in where you grew up, were you ever subject to anything like that, or did you find that later in life?
Much later. You've seen a little bit, but not to this extent. Guys get mad and do certain things, but no, I wasn't raised around a lot of blacks in the whole town, maybe 20 or 30. So it wasn't necessarily that. Everyone knew one another. And it was, so you grew up in a different, you know, it was family, culture area. So it's just totally different, man. That was a phenomenal interview. I almost want to listen to it again. It was that profound.
The fact that he's on this mass text and Adam Jones weighs in and they're just like, what's new? Like, this is the number one story in baseball right now, what's been happening. And for them, it's what's new. There's nothing new in Boston, Philadelphia. He even mentions Wrigley Field.
Yeah, and Joe, that's why, to me, Dibs and Joe, I had to ask that question because, Joe, you've been in locker rooms. You guys both played sports. You don't see that in football stadiums. You don't see it necessarily in basketball. And that's my point was, like, is it a different fan base for baseball? And that's because, you hear what he's saying. I'm like, and I've been up close with the fans and seen it and been played in Boston, heard rude things, but not of it as absurd as it was there. So that's why I'm just shocked that, the fan base itself for baseball, that's why I'm asking, is it different?
That's an interesting point. I think the fan base in part could be whiter and as a result more prone to be racist. But also I think it's the access to the player, because if you're the center fielder, you're just standing out there and you got 1,000 or so fans in a section right behind and they can just shout right at you. If you're playing fullback, there's no way you can hear me, even if I'm in like the 12th row with all the noise, you know?
I think you're onto something there as well. Heckling, now I'm not saying this is heckling.
I've heard that.
Overt racism, completely different story.
Right.
Not trying to justify it, but heckling's always kind of been woven into the fabric of the game. The access to the players like Dibs talks about. If you're right behind the dugout, guys coming out, you give him a little bit of the business as he's on his way up. I think players understand that's part of it. The racism, again, I'm not saying that's part of it. Completely unacceptable. I think that's part one. I think two is the pace of play. Football, do you necessarily have time, no matter where you're standing, even though you might not be as close, to try to yell at a player who's wearing a helmet running a two-minute drill? No, because you're engaged in the two-minute drill. Baseball's a lot of sitting and waiting. Baseball's a lot of patience. Baseball's a lot of, okay, there's a moment, now we stop, get some more pine tar, move around, up, gotta call time, want to redo the grip, this and that. There's just time. Football, there's no time. It moves so fast.
I agree, but here's the part that I disagree with, or just the part that I want you guys to think about it. Joe, I'm from here. I'm 20 feet away from the window outside. That's how close the fans are to me when I'm sitting down on the bench, and you can hear pretty well what they're saying. Neil, turn around. I want you to eat another Big Mac. You can hear.
Oh, my God, we're using that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You little midget. I mean, yeah. You little round, call me round brown, low to the ground. You hear all kinds of stuff. Go back to your, so people say things, go back to New Orleans or go back to, San Diego, we're playing against teams, crazy stuff, drink another beer, So they're close enough that you could hear certain things on the sideline. LT, how's your knee against Patriots? Oh, yeah, your knee hurts, you want to have a doll. LT, you're crybaby. So you hear everything too. So, but never in that sense, you hear those type of, the fan base to me, it must be different
never once in 16 years hear the N-word shouted from the stands?
Joe, I'd be lying if I said I did. And I played 16 years, think about preseason, I've been in the deep South, played in Tennessee, played in New Orleans, I played in New York, so, and I'm not saying
you've been everywhere, we know.
Yeah,
oh, you've been everywhere.
I'm not trying to do, I'm just saying a lot.
No, I'm hyping you up. I'm with you on this segment.
I'll cut you
down at 8:30.
I know you will.
There's a tease.
But why didn't you just let it go, Dibs? Why did you have to say
that? Because I had a funny line and I delivered it, but I digest.
Yeah,
please,
he needed to slide in there.
That's what I do.
Why are you packing him on that too, Joe? But anyways,
I'll cut him down at 8:45. Coach, that's what I do.
Yeah, this is true. And so anyways, no, but I haven't heard of it. You've heard. Now, I've heard people say certain things that they, like, I've never
heard. Have you heard other players say that they heard it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But it seems as if there's more of it in baseball. I wonder what it is in basketball, because you are right on top of the court. right on top of the court. I mean, you are so close. You stumble right into the fans.
Absolutely. You drink their beer. Ask LeBron.
I'm trying to think of being at some of these games if I've ever heard it. Nothing comes to mind. I've had some good seats before,
and
but I've never.
Right. And people are drunk right next to you, and you're losing, winning. You've been on both sides, Joe. You too, Dibs. Have you heard it? You've been there?
Yeah, and I think out here is a little bit different, obviously.
I do like that about out here.
Yeah.
But I've been everywhere, though, Coach.
True. I haven't, though. And I can speak to being a fan out here in the Bay Area, and the times I've been to venues in other cities, I've never heard that. I've never heard that word used from a fan heckling a player, but I haven't been to every city. I haven't been to Boston to see an event.
Bill Simmons makes an excellent point. He's from Boston. He wondered why no one else in the stands stood up and worked to get that guy thrown out. Like other Red Sox fans being like, dude, that's going too far. How come no one took the initiative to have that guy thrown out? Because you have a lot of places where if someone tried that at AT&T, if someone tried that at the Coliseum, I have a feeling that you'd have other individuals in the stands that would do something about it. Maybe they'd go too far, but something would be done. I don't think you'd have a whole section of people just sitting there idly allowing something like that to happen. That's not how it's done.
No way. Right. Certain places, no way. New Orleans, no way. But, you know, I'll tell you, know, I know we're probably going to break, but we're not. I'll tell a story.
Look at you.
I'll tell a story.
Look at you learning the out times.
Now back to Joe, Lo, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Lo Neal's got story time for us in a moment. Hey, Anna, you wanted to ask a question for a video afterwards. We all brushed you off. Why don't you just ask the question right now?
Okay. Who's your favorite Star Wars character?
Great question.
May the 4th.
Man, I got pegged as being C-3PO for so long.
I'm seeing it right now.
It sucks, man. My wife, when she was my girlfriend, we lived together with our good friend Elvira, Chanda's best friend Elvira.
Elvira.
And for some reason, they thought that I acted and looked like C-3PO.
Wow.
The protocol droid that no one likes.
The Brad Pitt of robots.
Absolutely horrocious. So I got to go with my boy C-3PO. It hits too close to home.
I like that.
We got Lando Calrissian. We can go ahead and just skip right through that. We know where that's going. Anna?
Boom. I'm going Han Solo.
Han
He's
Solo.
A badass guy.
I'm sorry, is it not?
Chewbacca. Yeah. Hey, he's the best, man.
Chewbacca's good. Can you do the Chewbacca?
Because he just.
Roar?
No, I can't do it. It's just. It's a communication. They're able to communicate. He doesn't even say nothing, Coach. And he's able to make
it's
language.
Rather impressive.
It's impressive. They know what each other's saying.
Okay.
Chewbacca.
We have about 13 minutes left, and then we kick it over to the dugout show. So this 13 minutes, there are a lot of directions this could go. I'm predicting failure, but I'm only predicting failure because anything else is a success at that point. So we'll begin with Dibs in your update.
The Warriors hoping to avoid failure tonight, Joe. Game 2, Western Conference semis against the Utah Jazz. Steph Curry sat out practice. He said, though, he's definitely good to go despite tweaking his ankle in Game 1. Draymond Green coming off a 17-point, 8-rebound, 6-assist, 2-block, 2-steal performance. Our coverage begins at 6 with Warriors warm-up. Tip time 7:30 from Oracle right here on your home of the Warriors, 95.7 The Game. Story number 2, Giants get out of L.A. with a series victory. Their first road series win of the year, 4-1 the final in 11 innings. How about Jeff Samardzija? The Shark was predatory, 8 innings pitched. He allowed 3 hits and no earned runs. Brandon Belt and Gorkys Hernandez each with a run batted in the decisive 11th inning. Story number 3, Kendall Graveman gives it up. The A's lose to Minnesota. Graveman gave up 6 runs, did not survive the 4th inning. The A's will try to avoid a sweep. We've got morning ball. Jarrell Cotton against Kyle Gibson. A's dugout show begins in just 11 minutes as they try to avoid their 5th consecutive defeat and avoid being swept by Minnesota. That's your update. I'm Dan Dibley on your home of the Warriors. Our coverage tonight begins at 6 right here on your home of the Warriors, 95.7 The Game.
Dynamite stuff. Couple parlementary procedures to get to and then Lo Neal's story. Number 1, we've got tickets. I Love the 90s with TLC, Montel Jordan, Rob Bass, and more. Concord Pavilion, Saturday, July 15th. First person to hit our producer on the phones, 888-957-9570, with the correct answer to the following question. Dibs won an Emmy. Who was he working for when he won that Emmy? 888-957-9570.
It's a good question.
Great question. It's a great Emmy.
Thank you.
Dibs won an Emmy. Who did he win it working for? 888-957-9570. First person to hit up our producer with that answer. gets the tickets, TLC, Montel Jordan, Rob Basin, Mora Concord Pavilion. Put in procedure number two. Today's Take Your Pick poll question brought to you by FH Daily and Novato Chevrolet. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning, fellas. So, going on with the Warriors, which team will lose more games before the start of the finals? Will it be the Warriors or the Cavaliers? Both, as of right now, have not lost yet in the playoffs.
Okay, we will start. Would you like to begin this one?
Sure, why not?
Who's going to lose more before the start of the finals?
Before the start of the finals, I would have to say it's probably going to be the Warriors just because it's going to be a tougher Western Conference finals once I believe they get past this round.
Okay, the Warriors. Lo Neal.
The Cavs. I think when you look at the next series that they're going to play against a team that's probably maybe going to take them seven, I don't see the Warriors going seven in any series to maybe they get to LeBron.
Dibs.
I think it's also the Warriors. I mean, I think the Cavs could go in at 12-0. The way they're playing right now and the way the East is straight rolling over, and I think the Warriors are going to lose one at Utah and they'll lose one at Houston. They'll go in with two defeats into the NBA Finals. They'll be 12-2 against 12-0 in a clash of the Titans.
Imagine if they're both perfect going into that. There's your storyline, wow. Writers of America. Not a whole lot of work to do following that. All right. Lo Neal story time. Let's get to it here. NFL players, we know the segments where they're mic'd up. They come in. Well, first off, explain how it's done. How do they mic you up? How do you get picked?
Yeah, it's interesting. The NFL Network, they come out to training camp, and now they got the Hard Knocks and all the different things. But used to be they would want to come out to camp, and they would tell the PR individuals, hey, here's a guy we want to mic up. We want to see what this guy is going to say or do during the whole practice. Because it's training camp. It's the downtime. Season hasn't started. So the PR person says, hey, look, just want you to know the NFL Films, they want you to be mic'd up during practice, the whole practice. So, Lorenzo, you're going to be the guy.
Okay. Now, once you're mic'd up, you go out to practice.
Yeah.
Stuff happens. You got a lot going on. Do you at moments forget that you're mic'd up? Is it possible that maybe
Absolutely.
You're having a conversation, you're like, shoot, I just realized I'm mic'd up?
Oh, no question. You tell guys before, dude, I'm mic'd up. So maybe a guy's having a bad day. Coach MFs him or cusses him out or do some stuff. And he wants to vent to you. And you're like, dude, and you point at, hey, be careful, I'm mic'd up. So you don't want to sell your boy out. So, yeah, so absolutely, you know, and sometimes you do forget heat of the moment, you're practicing, something goes wrong, and you forget you're mic'd up. So, yeah, it happens.
Okay, it can happen. Now, when you were with the Chargers,
yeah,
John Pagano, brother of Chuck Pagano, head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, he's now working with the Raiders.
Yeah.
He was also working in San Diego at the time. He's one of your coaches.
Absolutely.
And you're mic'd up.
Yeah.
Whoever's there decides Lo Neal's the way to go with this. And, you know, to give them credit, that's a good spot right there. It's
well,
a good
thank
pick.
You, Joe.
You're mic'd up, and you and Pagano used to have some little inside joke between you.
Absolutely.
What was the inside joke?
Well, you know, I've been on Pagano shoot for years, even my days with the Saints. So we go way back, 92, 93, 90. So we were there together, and he was a young, you know, young coach at the time. And we would go through and we'd talk about movies because we're in the same, you know, he's only like 3 or 4 years older than me, 4 or 5 years older than me. So I grew up, he loved the Planet of the Apes. We love watching movies.
The Charlton Heston version.
Yeah, absolutely.
Both fans of Planet of the Apes.
Oh, absolutely.
Huh?
And so Charlton Heston, there's a part in that movie where he gets his larynx, you know, his throat's cut out and he really can't speak well because he gets hit or something. And so he can't speak. So he gets caught by the apes and he's in the net and they grab him and he looks at him. It's the first time they hear him speak. He says, get your filthy paws off me, you damn dirty ape. And so
iconic line.
Yeah, iconic line. Absolutely. The line is if anybody knows Planet of the Apes, they love the line. So as I digest. Anyways.
Or digress, whichever one.
Yeah, exactly.
Your call at this point.
And so I'm mic'd up. And so we've done this since New Orleans. And I'm at the Chargers now. We are past crossback again. And I've always, every time he would grab me, I'd say, get your filthy paws on me. So I'd give him the line and he would laugh.
So it's an inside joke between the two of you.
Absolutely. So he and I, we do that all the time.
And for those who don't know, John Pagano is of Caucasian.
Yeah, white guy,
background.
Caucasian.
That's going to play a part here in about a moment.
Absolutely.
If you didn't already smell the
comment. So I'm always grabbing him, and he's like, get your filthy paws. You know, and he grabs me, and I do the same. So NFL Films there. I'm mic'd up. He doesn't know. And I could tell him, of course. And what do I do after practice? I grab his arm, and his get your filthy paws off me, you damn dirty ape. The film's on him. NFL Films got it. And I'm like, I'm like, man, how can you say something like that, bro? Man, what are you talking? And then I lift up my pad, you know, because it's in like your shoulder pad, and I show him the mic, and he starts screaming, "Oh my God, tell him you can't do this. Let him know that I'm not a racist. What are you talking about?" Joe, you guys are laughing. It's so bad. He goes right to Marty Schottenheimer, the head coach. He tries to go up and talk to the GM. He's like talking to NFL. You can't play this part. I was like, that's just messed up. I'm busting his chops the whole day. We talk about it to this day, but of course he didn't get fired.
So you're
to get
playing
fired.
It up like racist. Oh, you know, who is this guy? How dare you say such a thing
to
me?
You call me an ace. Yeah, I'm a valuable part of this organization. Damn it. I play fullback.
Right, exactly. How could you do that? How could you say that, coach?
How does that work with when you're mic'd up? Are you able to go back to them later and be like, look, I got in the heat of the moment when I was out there a couple times. I said some things I'd rather you not air. Or they basically, no, do they have the right to all of it?
They air, bro.
Do you have to sign anything?
No, but they just beep. Come on.
Yeah, but still, you might. Okay, so say you're. Behind the scenes, maybe you have a deal you're working on for an endorsement, and it's something that where you need to look like a good guy, and you are in the heat of the moment, MFing Ray Lewis out on the field, all that, and that gets caught. Then they air it, and this company looks at you, and they're like, you know what? Sorry, you seem like a much more aggressive individual than we thought. We can't do this endorsement with you.
I think you could go and talk to him about something like that, but usually they want to see that part. They want to see the violence. They want to hear guys talking about what really happens on the field. The fans want to see that part of guys. I think that in certain situations, yeah, they'll cut off something if you're being, if it's too much,
yes,
if racist,
oh, definitely,
and stuff. Absolutely.
You think so too?
Without a doubt. Yeah. Like, you watch now on NFL films, they have Sound FX that comes out usually Wednesday after the round of games. And a lot of that is edited. They don't want to make any player look too bad.
Right.
Like, the thing with you and Pagano, they wouldn't air it even if they knew that you guys were joking back and forth, because it could be taken as racially insensitive. And they want to protect the shield, and they don't want players to say, forget it, I'm not wearing a mic ever again.
Right, good call.
So they are going to protect him a little bit, but you're right, Lo. They do want to hear the, oh, come on, Ray, you know I'm coming to get you. I'm going to get you. They want to hear all that back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Lawrence Taylor is portrayed as a wild man. That one where he's on the sidelines screaming, hey, Sully, you better hope I never get back in there. I'm going to kick your, and then it just goes off on a tirade of beeps. And it's like, Lawrence Taylor, that's a scary human.
Sure.
And Mike Singletary, too. I mean, you remember his Iron Mike talk, or Samurai Mike, rather, when he was playing middle linebacker, all the talking he did. Whew. He'd be another guy who'd be a perfect candidate for that.
Oh yeah. I wish we could mic Joe up and let it. That would be great.
During breaks?
The day those mics go live during the break, I'm on my way out of the industry.
Yeah. That might be a good
thing. I don't exactly hold back on the language, if you know what I'm saying.
If I ever do stand-up comedy, my Fortenbaugh impersonation definitely is part of my...
Yeah, I hear this thing is wonderful, but I've never heard it.
Yeah, I mean, please.
Do you want to do it?
I'll just do my impersonation of you talking to the boys in the back.
Please.
You two back there need to flipping button up. Button up in there.
Oh, yeah.
What are you doing back there, Melvin?
Oh, yeah.
He's doing, in Dibs' defense, not only is that good, he's also really toning that down.
Toning it down big time.
Yeah.
And your facial expressions, that's the thing about it. It's like, I'm like, dude, this guy really think he's tough. He can't bust a grape. You stare down. Man,
he can't bust a grape.
Man, your little looks you be giving. I'm like, dude, I'm 250-some pounds. I'll open up a can of whoop butt.
Then why are you eating pistachios at 9 when we come on to the top of the hour? That's why you get the look.
Because
I see pistachio shells flying everywhere. It's not just a random
talking about my look.
He wants protein.
His thing was, man, I'm 250 pounds.
No! I'm just saying,
protein.
When you look at
it. Yeah, protein, that's what it is.
I wasn't, why are you selling
poor
me
guy's
right
wasting
I'm selling
over
everybody
here.
Out. I'm going out, scorched earth. I didn't like the impersonation of me. I'm mad, I'm salty, so I'm going to scorch the earth on the way out of here.
I was just saying the look you give
me. Don't you give me the finger letting me know I'm 1 minute out. I'll run it over in the eighth dugout show if I damn well please.
But it is
buttoned
a
up in won't. There.
I was just saying I love the look. That's the thing about it. It's like, man.
Get buttoned up.
Any advice? I'm on my way to Vegas later today. Any advice?
Yes.
Anybody?
I do. I
yes,
got great
please.
Advice. Get crazy, crazy, crazy.
That's terrible advice, damn it. That's terrible advice. If I do that, you know I'm not going to be back on Monday.
Water, Dibs. Joe, yes. Early and often. One for every beverage, have at least 8 ounces of water.
Drug skill.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I'm not going there.
Did he say that? What was it? Just say no.
I'm just, it's a, you know, I'm 36.
Just say no.
God.
Nancy
it's not
Reagan's
Tijuana.
On the phone.
We're joking.
I'm
going
to go have a nice dinner, maybe a little light gambling.
You
Who
can
knows?
Save souls over there.
I'm not trying to do that.
Oh, okay.
It's a one-man act.
Have a great trip, brother.
Thank you. Good luck with the guru tomorrow. I'll be back on Monday. Great working with you all. The Dugout Show is coming up in like 30 seconds. For Anna, for Lo, for Dibs, I'm Joe Fornball. Thanks for hanging out with us, everybody. These fools are back tomorrow, 6 a.m., 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.